Being a fifth Sunday, we're not quite ready for that slide yet. Or no, we are. I'm sorry. I forgot what my first slide was. Being a fifth Sunday, we are in for a treat tonight as well as we are doing the biblical question and answer night. You've submitted questions, and our two elders and our two preachers are taking on, we've had time to prepare. At least one each, and on top of that, there's a secret question, of course, that we haven't seen, that is being kept in reserve, and that will be at the very end. And this will be a lot like in the middle of a personal study or something like that. Maybe in the middle of a class, somebody might ask a question, and whoever's teaching that class or conducting that study would have to figure out off the top of their heads. Maybe best how to answer it without a lot of deep study and work on that particular question. So it's always entertaining. It can be very good, very interesting. So we'll be doing that tonight at a regular time. And afterwards, we're having our end of summer cookout, which is an exciting thing. So please bring a dish to pass and come and enjoy some time of fellowship. It's a great time with church family to spend. And at the very beginning of August, when we went up to New York to spend some time with my parents and also a family reunion on the first Saturday of August, my mom says, "When you're here, we're going to go to the Jell-O Museum." And I thought, that's a strange thing, the Jell-O Museum. But apparently Jell-O began in Leroy, New York, just a few minutes away from my parents' hometown. And we went there, and it was actually really, really good. At the very end, I picked up a recipe card for a 1904 Jell-O recipe. I'm not going to give it away what it is. It's very different. Probably nothing anybody here has ever had. But the recipe is 121 years old, and I made it, and we're going to have it tonight at the cookout. So, little treat. Let's go to God in prayer. It is so good, Lord, to take time to be holy. We know, Lord, that it is very difficult in this very busy time that we have to find the time to, from the busyness of this world, to spend time with you and study and prayer and finding you in the midst of all the clutter and noise of this world around us. I pray, Lord, that you would allow our souls to be still. To do that, we need to cut through everything that is bombarding us and to carve out time, specific time, for us to spend with you. And I ask, Lord, that we might go away from this service today with the idea of further, deeper devotion to you, that we might turn off our TVs and our phones and spend time in quiet solitude with you. We need to do this, Lord, to draw closer to you and to know you better. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. Life is busy. There are people to see. There are places to go. There's stuff to buy. There are events to plan. And how is it that we find time to be holy before God? That is a very difficult thing. Jesus had to do that very thing as he was in the flesh here on earth. He needed to take time to be holy. That sounds an odd thing that he is God in the flesh and yet he needed to take time to be holy. He was made like us in every way. And yet Mark 1 and verse 35 says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place and there he prayed." If Jesus had to do that, we have to do that as well. We need to take time to be holy. For me, it's before the day starts. I get up earlier than Angie does. I get up earlier than the dogs do. And I carve out that time early in the morning. Sometimes it's hard to drag myself out of bed, but I do it. And I spend time with God in prayer and journaling. Sometimes reading the Bible, reading a commentary or a good book or an article. that helps get my focus on God and who He is and who I am and how He sees me and what He wants for my life and how I can be a better minister, a better husband, a better father. All these things are very important to do. Take time with God. And so we take a look at that passage that we just read, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, and we can see that this works very, very well with the song, Take Time to Be Holy. We're to take joy in all things. The verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. We just had a lesson from Psalm 98, last week I think it was. It says, He has remembered His steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. We need to take time to find the joy in life. God gives us opportunities to find joy despite sometimes difficult circumstances going on in our lives. And many of us have been through difficult times, but God finds ways for us to rejoice in Him always. And again, He says it because we don't always get it the first time. Again, I will say, rejoice, God says. We need to take joy when life is in chaos by looking up rather than looking out at the circumstances around us. Colossians chapter 3 says, if then you have been raised with Christ, and that should be everybody who has obeyed the gospel here today, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And so let's sing together verse 1 of Take Time to Be Holy. Take time to be holy, speak up with thy Lord. To be holy. That means make the time. It's not just going to happen. I think sometimes we think that we wake up and we are rushing right from the moment our feet hit the floor as we get out of bed and we're going to this, doing that, we're buying this, we got these errands, we got to go to work, we got to, you know, call somebody, we got to do whatever it is. And suddenly we're at the end of the day and we're like, where'd the day go? We need to take time, carve it out of your day on purpose. Take time to be holy. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. We need to do good always, in other words. 1 Peter chapter 3 says, now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? There will be some, I'm sure. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. And so here's the second principle of how we are to take time to be holy, is to do good always and to honor Jesus as holy. We need to keep our focus on Him and where He is seated at the right hand of God. Choose to do what's right. Choose to do what's good and holy, no matter what others do. 1 Peter 1 says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Our second stanza here. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Bye. third verse, our third principle here from verse 6 of Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything. That's a big one. If you want to take time to be holy, you have to overcome worry, overcome anxiety. We need to stop trying to fix things by our own power and resources and allow God, submit ourselves to Him and allow Him to help take care of these things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. 1 Thessalonians 5 echoes this. Rejoice always. We just saw that in Philippians 4. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This means persevere in rejoicing, persevere in prayer, persevere in giving thanks in that holiness that we are striving to have like Jesus. James chapter 1, 2 to 4 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And so our third stanza.
Take time to be holy, let Him be thy guide, and run not before Him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in His word.
Our fourth and final point here is one of a result. If we do take time to be holy, if we allow ourselves to do that and allow God to work on us, if we allow ourselves to submit to Him, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, we need that in the world of chaos around us. We need the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, to guard our hearts. Romans chapter 8 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And so not slavery, but sons, not fear, but faith, the theme of what we're working on today, be still my soul. Our last stanza is,
take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul, each thought and each motive beneath His control. Thus led by His Spirit to fountains of love,
Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the one that gives us the peace that passes all understanding. If this is you, if you have been singing these songs, realizing that you are anxious in spirit, that you are caught up in the chaos of the world around you, and you need the peace that passes all understanding, you've not been taking time to be holy, and maybe you've never obeyed the gospel, or perhaps you have, and you need the calm reassurance of your eternal salvation that comes only through obeying the gospel, by hearing it, by believing it, by repenting of your sins, by confessing Him as Lord, by being baptized into Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, coming up out of that watery grave as a new creation, being adopted as His Son, no longer enslaved to the spirit of fear. This perhaps will be an opportunity to come forth as we sing a song of invitation.